Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to Unchurched. My name is Rebecca, and I'm your host for the next half an hour or so right here on this podcast. So what we do here is we talk about church culture, we talk about what the church says, and then we compare it up against the Bible. And so this is what we do here on Unchurched. Last week we talked about the origin of sin. So not the original sin, we talked about the origin of sin being that it started with this being, the serpent in the garden, the cherub, the guardian of that was placed over Eden, and that his name was originally Lucifer, and that he is the father of all wickedness, evil, basically sin. And what is sin? Well, sin is the willful rejection of God's sovereignty and rule over one's life or being. And so so Satan was given a specific purpose. He was created beautifully, and he rejected that and decided that he needed to go and do something else because that was better for him instead of what God originally intended for him to do. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about how that plays into what the church calls original sin, or the original sin that was committed in the garden of Adam and Eve. And this is kind of a fun topic for me because it's over time, there have been a lot of things that have been incorporated into imagery and also the Bible itself, but via like tellings of the Bible. So not actually into the Bible, into the scriptures themselves, but has actually made its way that have come from outside sources. One of those being that that the fruit that Adam and Eve ate was an apple. And that's an interesting topic in and of itself because the fruit that they ate was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which we're going to get into. But that's one of the things that you'll hear is that, oh, it was an apple. And that's not actually true because, well, you have to understand that the word apple in the English language and in Norse and Germanic language has been the word just for fruit has been apple, which has then been translated into over time this tree from a specific fruit from a specific tree known as the apple tree, the colloquially that we know in the English language. And but there's been lots of imagery that has been painted of Adam and Eve picking a very scrumptious looking apple out of a tree with a serpent. And so that is where that came from, is that somebody somewhere along the line decided that they needed to paint an apple out of a tree and that that's what it was. That's how that got incorporated. The other is that the fruit isn't really just fruit. It's an allegory or a metaphor for sex, and that sex is the original sin. And we know that that's not true because in chapter 2 of Genesis, God tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, which means, hey, go have babies. So that's so we know it's not that either, but that somewhere along the line became the awful, horrible thing, and that's the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit of good of the knowledge of good and evil is having sex. Yeah. So, and we know, but again, we know that that's not true because that's not in the Bible. That doesn't say that. Now there's people that are like, well, it's immoral to have sex outside of marriage. Yes, yes, yes. But that's not what you're injecting that into that story. You're not because it's not immoral for two people who were created for each other to have each other to do that activity, especially like God says here and basically married them there in the Garden of Eden. So you're out of line there. So this is a fun one because the church, depending on who you talk to and your church background and where you go to, you know, where you come from, the original sin could be just about anything. Like, I've heard even with some creeping in of evolution into it is that Adam and Eve were basically apes and then Satan tricked them and then they became like wise and they became got intelligence and all of a sudden they evolved and now they get kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That is not correct either, because within chapter 2 it says that God made him in his own image. Male and female, he made them in his own image. He made them, he's like, I want to make people like myself, which to say that he made them dumb and stupid is not making them like himself. He did give Adam incredible intelligence and Eve incredible intelligence. And I believe that part of the fall is that we only use a portion of our brains. We don't use the full capacity of what God has designed our brains for. That's to say that that we evolved up because of the fall is ridiculous. I believe we devolved down because of the fall. But we're going to talk about, we're going to stick to the scripture because, you know, I don't know what the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is. But there is a definite fruit and there's a definite tree, whether it's a, And I pause to say this because it could be an actual literal tree that I don't have full understanding or knowledge of, or it could be a metaphorical tree that I don't have full knowledge and understanding of, because we do know that Adam and Eve, where Adam, what God removed a rib from Adam, and that Eve is not missing a rib. But if you look at it's both male and female have the same number of ribs, but both male and female do not have the same number of chromosomes. And if you look at DNA and the way that it's made, and you didn't have complete knowledge of what somebody was showing you, is that the best way to explain a piece of DNA or a chromosome that looks kind of like a ladder, and that the rings or the ribs of a ladder look an awful lot like the structure of a rib cage, that it would make sense that God took a chromosome from Adam to make Eve, and that is why we have XY and XX chromosome. Science does actually prove that. So you can either take that or you can take it as a literal rib. Either way, it's does not affect your faith, whether you think that it is DNA or whether you think it's an actual rib, because in that case, then it would be just Adam that's missing a rib and nobody else. But I personally believe that it is DNA that God took from Adam and that is the marker. But we're going to go to Genesis 3 that says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden.' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it or touch it, or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate it." And then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the serpent, which we talked about last week, which we know is Lucifer, because God does tell us later on in the Bible that it wasn't just a random snake hanging out in the Garden of Eden, but he tells through the prophets, Ezekiel and Isaiah and a few other places, that the serpent was actually Lucifer, a fallen angel, the enemy of God, the guy that sit there, the guy that the angel that thwarts Job in the book of Job. This is the guy, this is the enemy of God, and that he's also an enemy of man. And so, so what the serpent here has done is that the serpent has basically, introduced the concept of sin to Adam and Eve by causing them to doubt and, telling them, "Oh, God is wrong." You know, and so Adam and Eve, they're like listening to this serpent, and the serpent is, they're listening to Satan, and Satan's like saying, "Hey, you know, this isn't so bad. You're not going to actually die. You're going to be like God." Now, had they waited around for God, because God had a habit of walking in the garden, and that this was a something that God did is that he walked around in the Garden of Eden to observe his creation, to hang out with them, to talk to them. And we know this because God is already familiar with Adam and Eve. He's already talked to them. He has been talking to them. So instead of Adam and Eve checking with God and saying, "Hey, whoa, Satan, you know, that's an interesting thought. Let me go check with a word, or let me go check with God. And then we can talk about this later." No. They're like, "Well, you, what you're saying seems right. Well, maybe there is something there." Well, so Satan's like in the middle of like trying to cause a war with God and trying to usurp God, and he's, you know, causing problems everywhere. And so God is basically being told, is basically being thwarted behind his back by an enemy. And so this guy, Satan, tells Adam and Eve, "Look, you're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to be like him. And this is how you do it. This is what you do to be like God." And they're like, "Whoa." And so they're, you know, they're like, they're hesitant at first, but he talks them into it and says, "No, this is, you're not going to die. You're going to be like God. This is good for you to do." And so Adam eats it. And so Eve eats it. And so does Adam. And they are tricked, and they realize immediately that once they've done it, that this is not what God had intended for them, that this is against what God wanted for them, that this was outside of God's will for their life. And they knew it because immediately they knew they were naked. They knew that they had done something wrong. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I believe that they were clothed in such a way, like, even though they were naked and they weren't ashamed, there was no reason for them to be ashamed. But the minute that they did this, they knew that they were naked. And it's like, well, something happened that revealed to them that they were missing, that they did die, that there was a death, that there was a spiritual death that happened at that point, that they were then disconnected from God. And I believe that God knew what had happened and when it had happened, because he shows up and is like, hey, guys, what's going on? Why are you hiding? Like, because he's not gonna like come down with like fire and thunderbolts and be like, you guys have done this and I knew it, and like your punishment, and you're gonna die. Because God is good. And this is how good God is, because instead of just allowing them to like permanently die and be dead forever, like dead. Initially, they have been cut off from God spiritually, so that their inner man, their inner spirit man, has died. They have no longer that connection to God, that their physical bodies are living, that their soul is still there, but that connection, that knowing, that having God be a part of them is gone. So they go and they make fig leaves and clothes, and then God comes and talks to them, and that starts in verse 9, and we already read that. But so he's like, wants to hear, you know, what Adam and Eve saying. So Adam and Eve actually tell the truth. They don't lie. They're like, well, this is what happened. So I ate this, and the woman, it's the woman's fault, because you gave her to me. And it's all her. So, and then God talks to Eve, and Eve's like, well, I ate this because of the serpent. Like, he told me I could eat of it, and he gave it to me, and I ate it. And so, they're pretty honest. For the most part. And so at that point, God realizes that this was not the intent of Adam and Eve, that had they not been tempted, they would not have, they would have actually like stayed away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that they would have done what God said, because they trusted God and they were not willfully rejecting the God's sovereignty and rule over their lives. They were happy having dominion over the rest of creation on earth and the Garden of Eden that God had given to them. But this one thing, they were like, yeah, we're fine without that. So we'll just go off and do this other thing. There's lots of other things to eat. We don't have to eat that. So, but Satan decided to deceive them. And so I really think that, because at the heart of the matter, this was not their intent, was to separate themselves from God, was to willfully reject God's sovereignty, because that wasn't exactly what Satan was telling them to do, because he was trying to get them to be in open rebellion against God. And they were like, no, but we're going to follow what God says, because that's what God says. And so he had to trick them into saying, oh, no, that's not what it's all about. All about this other thing. And so because of that, because they were tempted, and because Satan had been a trusted figure in the garden, and so that he deceived them, because he's beautiful, he has lots of wisdom, he knows what he's talking about, apparently. And so they're like, well, and God put him in that position, and so, well, why are you saying these things? Because, you know, that's not, so Adam and Eve, like, follow and do what Satan does. And not because they are willfully wanting to reject God, but because, like, well, maybe God's wrong. And so when that thought entered, then they were like, oh, so this. And then they realized that they were really wrong, and that they were in a pickle now, because they had made a mistake by trusting God's enemy. So God comes down and he does something that is he puts a curse on mankind, and that includes a curse over women. But he starts off with the serpent. So there's a curse put on the serpent there, or Satan. There's a curse put on the woman, and there's a curse put on Adam. And the Lord says to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And and then he kicks them out of the Garden of Eden out of that. So here's where it's really interesting, is so that he's cursed Satan at this point, and he's calling him a snake. And he tells him his end already is that and he foreshadows Jesus Christ coming, and he's like, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. So basically, he's saying is that Jesus, like, I have a plan where your head is going to be stomped. And you're going to bruise her heel, her seed's heel, but he's going to win. Basically, it's like is that you're going to die and it's going to hurt. But yeah. And then the curse of mankind is also for both Adam and Eve, saying that part of Eve's curse and for women is that they're going to desire their husband, that they're going to be ruled over by their husband, and that they're going to be basically second class citizens. And then the second part of it is like for Adam is that their ground is cursed because of man, and it's going to be really difficult for him to work the field, because there's going to be thorns, there's going to be thistles, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that he's going to have to fight with in order to like make sure that the ground is good and presents good food for him. So so that is the curse. That is basically the original sin. The original sin is the willful rejection of God's sovereignty and rule over our lives. And so where sin entered with Adam, and so everybody from that point, because part of that was spiritual death, is that everyone from that point on that has been born has a separation from God. And and we've already covered this in, I believe, episode 2. But it's good to go over it again, is that, that there is an enemy of God. That's where sin comes from. That's like the origin of all sinful nature. Is Satan. But mankind got caught up in it. And as a result is that we have, we're born with a sinful nature and with willful disobedience, because we don't have that connection with God. However, through Jesus Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that we have the opportunity to have that relationship with God again. And so that's what original sin is that we are separated, is the separation from God, and that we have the ability to choose and be called by God to have God's sovereignty restored in our life through Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it through works. It has to be a work of God that he calls us, and we respond to the grace that he has extended to us. We will talk about the whole choice thing later on as to whether or not it is. Also, there's this. Is it something that you can like just pick up and carry forever, or reject it as you know? Accept it and reject it as you go along through life, or is it something that is permanent? And that is something that we can talk about later, but not on this episode. But know that that there is definitely that it's not just following and doing God's sovereign will, is that in order to know his sovereign will for your life, and that's not just acting according to his principles, but also your specific, like where he specifically placed you according to your gifts and your callings in this earth. Those are the things that you have to, you can't learn from just another person talking to you and telling you and just do this. Like, how do people know that they're supposed to end up being a pastor? How do people know that they're supposed to end up starting an orphanage? How do people know that they're supposed to go into prison ministry? How do people know that they're supposed to do certain things? And that's out of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that happens through a renewing of the inner man and a renewing of the spirit of the spiritual man within a human being, is that, and that is a work of God. And that's something that you got to talk to God about, whether or not you've been reborn. But it does start with believing and wanting it and being called by God. So to have that relationship with him. All right, so today we have talked about original sin. So we talked about the origin of sin last week. This week we talked about original sin, which is basically eating of the knowledge of the fruit of the knowledge, the fruit of the tree of good of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, yeah, eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that we know that the scripture is not clear about exactly what that specific action is, but we know that we know the motivation behind it. We know what caused it, and we know the redemption. We know the solution for the problem, and that is through Jesus Christ, his son. If you have any more questions, if you want to know more about Jesus Christ, if you want to know more about being reborn, you can email me at talktome@unchurched.net, and we'll give that information to you. If you want a physical Bible, email me with your name and your address, and I will send you a Bible personally. That's the email is talktome@unchurched.net. So let's see, anything else. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Yo, read your Bible, because it's good to read. And talk to God, have conversations with him, expect to hear from him. Read your Bible and hang out with other Christians. Hang out with other people who read the Bible and have a relationship with God. That's it for today. Next week, we've got couple good things coming up in the next few weeks. I'm going to be doing an interview with somebody, and I'm really excited about it. And it should be good, because they've got a perspective that I thought was that I saw, and I was like, oh yeah, we need to talk about that. I want to talk about that. I think it would be good to talk about. And so we'll be having an interview, and then we're also going to be heading into the concepts of grace and mercy and forgiveness here in the next few weeks as well. And then we can start, I think after that, start talking about church, like the other stuff about church culture. So it's kind of like, is that we will be talking about all kinds of, we may talk about dispensationalists, the difference between charismatics and Baptists, and other fun things like that. All right. Anyway, thanks for listening. Come back next week. We've got more stuff that we'll be talking about, and have a great rest of the week.